I'm Fast Eddie.
And I'm Still Digital Dave.
Yeah, we're covering for each other because it's Pandemonium Central here today.
Nah, it's just Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. Yeah, Pandemonium would be Friday.
Right, that's usually Friday at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, everybody goes nuts. With us in the studio today, complete with a full entourage, with a very friendly puppy, I might add, we have Jessica Cox with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How have you been?
Well, I've been excited. I woke up really early this morning because it's...
Didn't we all?
Yeah. Might not be the same excitement, though.
Well, I don't know. I just, you know, we all obviously missed last year, so it's always good to be back at AirVenture and experience all that and meet with friends, and it's wonderful to be back.
Well, there was a grand edict made that the term last year is appropriate, referring to 2019.
Okay. Right.
Yes. So you can say last year when you were here, that was 2019.
Got it. Okay.
Well, you've had a whole year plus since last AirVenture. What have you been up to in that time?
Well, a lot of amazing things. I have, we actually flew the AirCoop in, meaning a team of people, because I fly with my feet. And for me, in that crunch position, it takes a lot more out of me. So the most I can usually fly is about an hour and a half before I start to fatigue. So we had a whole bunch of people, but we came 2,000 miles. From Tucson, Arizona.
Wow.
And my husband flew most of the way, and he's a new pilot. So he's a brand new pilot. He had 70 hours and decided to help us get the AirCoop here, landed in Oshkosh, and here we are.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So you really do fly by the seat of your pants.
Ba-dum-tush.
Oh. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
See what I have to put up with? Well, it sounds like you certainly had an adventure, 2,000 miles in an air coupe, not exactly known for cross-country performance.
Very true. We lost the brakes in El Paso. We lost radios on the last leg into Oshkosh.
Wow, you did have an adventure.
Yes, it was definitely. It was once in a lifetime. I hope we can do it again. But it did take 2 weeks to the day to finally get to the state of Wisconsin.
Well, preferably wow. Without all the mechanical problems.
When you say do it again, not the problems, just the flying.
Hopefully they were all quick fixes, fuses, stupid things, you know?
Fortunately, yes.
Good. Good. Well, that makes it even better because that cuts down on your overhead, your costs, and, more importantly, downtime. Because when you have a slow airplane, you need to be in the air as much as you can.
That's very true, yes. And the thing with the AirCoop is that, well, we actually have the windows down, and so we can actually fly it like a convertible in the sky, and it makes it... great, but it does warm up in there. It's almost like a greenhouse effect when you are under that plastic window, and it gets pretty warm in there. So we like to fly during the cooler hours as well.
And yep. I was going to say the air coupe, once again, not known for air conditioning.
No.
Just got to fly high enough to get into the cooler air.
That's it. Yep. Of course, that means cooler view, too, so that works out pretty well.
Okay.
So now, you flew the airplane. Did you have an entourage following you on the ground or in another airplane?
Yes, we had the ground crew and basically a rotation of two pilots. And we got it here, and it was a very fun time. And now we realize that we had something to share with the AirVenture community once we got here. Because of that strain from flying in a crunch position with my legs up like that, my feet on the controls, and basically holding that position for so long, we have a new project we're launching called Project 2025, and that is building a custom airplane to be flown with feet.
Nice. Nice. I can't even begin where to start. First thing I'm imagining, you're going to have a seat that'll actually tilt way back.
Probably. Yeah, you would want a recliner of some sort.
Yeah, definitely. To get you, so you're not folding your body up quite so tightly.
And perhaps have the controls on the floor so that I'm in a resting position.
Well, that's an even better idea.
Yes.
What airplane are you thinking about starting with?
So we're thinking of a Kit RV-10.
Ooh.
Oh, think big. Nice.
Yes.
Nice. Now, do you still get a lot of people that do a double take when they see you get in an airplane and put your feet up on the yoke?
Yes. And even if I'm, say, standing around the air coupe, like I'm at a random airport and I'm standing around or waiting for the fuel truck or something, and a whole bunch of people walk up because it is a very interesting airplane, of course. It's a conversation starter, and they come up and talk. And they always ask me last out of the whole group.
Right.
About the airplane, because they don't. This is the last thing on their mind is that I'm the one who flew it in there.
Well, you just have to train all your friends to go, I don't know, it's her airplane.
Or you have a sticker on your shirt that says, yes, I did fly it in.
That's right. You know? No, you can't ride it.
Yeah.
I do have a shirt that says, I'm a pilot. Frightening, isn't it?
I like that.
Oh. You know, you can make a lot of money selling those things because there's a lot of standard pilots out there that are very frightening.
I think you ought to hook up with, like, Southwest and do a prank flight where when they land, you come out of the cockpit. Just to see what the passengers would do?
I always wondered how they would react. If some of them would, like, they'd take off back down the jet bridge, or if they'd stick around.
Or they'd just collapse.
I can't imagine that. A full captain's uniform, you come strolling out of there. That is a great commercial. Southwest, are you listening?
There you go.
They're the only airline out there with a sense of humor. They would do that.
You never know. So have you formulated any napkin designs on your custom aircraft yet?
We have some prototypes we're working through, and that's why we invited all the design ideas from so many people out here when I spoke yesterday at the Ford tent. And I said, you know, we are welcoming all these ideas. If we don't use one, perhaps it could be used for someone else with a disability. Mm-hmm. So we want to kind of open that up and generate the conversation and the ideas, keep them flowing so that we can design something and use all the designs that are submitted to help other people.
Okay. I'm sure there's a lot of disabled people that would love to fly.
Absolutely. I talked to two of them yesterday.
No kidding. What are their particular needs?
Well, one is a young boy who is about that age of solo, legal solo age, and he was born without a left hand. And so he has half of an arm, and his dad's building an RV as well. I wasn't sure which one it is, but he's building one. And, I think it was just great reassurance to him that, hey, if I'm flying it without arms at all, then he should have no issue. So,
right. It's a lot easier with one.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. You still must get a lot of people that say, why did you want to become a pilot? I mean, didn't you think that was going to be too difficult?
Every single day I get that question. And I still answer the same way. It was my greatest fear. It was something I was terrified of. But as a motivational speaker, I needed to be an example to others that they can have the courage to do whatever it is that they're afraid of. And I thought, face the fear, become a pilot, and learn everything about aviation is like to overcome that fear.
How many days did you go home from flight training and think to yourself, what am I doing?
Wow. There was one particular really low moment when I hit rock bottom. And I think that was a point where I was like, I think everyone's given up on me. Because I'd already gone through two Urcoops. The whole setup didn't work for me. Went through two instructors, flight training in Florida and California. And then finally it was just like, what am I doing? Because people have pretty much given their all to help me get this far. And we kind of hit this wall of what is this a safe thing to continue? And I hit that moment of, is everyone giving up on me? But I really had this burning fire in me to fly and do whatever it is, whatever it takes. And I pulled up a picture of this Urcoop. I remember it was just a generic Urcoop picture, put it on the backdrop of my computer, and just looked at this picture every morning and envisioned myself flying. And that power of visualization.
You can confess. You made airplane noises too, didn't you?
Hey, we all do.
I'm just glad no one was watching.
You know, I, as the perennial student pilot, you always hit a plateau at some point where you just say, I just can't figure out how to do this. So I'm sure you ran through that too. And again, you just had to push through it.
I mean, even the basic thing, I shared the story of learning to put my four-point safety harness on. And that seatbelt was something that was in the first Urcoop I sat in. And I sat there and I struggled for 45 minutes trying to figure out how I was going to wrap this harness around my body. And then I finally looked down. I saw my shoe on the floor and I remembered how I learned how to tie my shoes. And I learned by tying from the outside because I use my toes to tie my laces. Mm-hmm. And so I remember to think outside the shoe, and I applied that to that seatbelt harness, stood up in the seat, buckled the harness first, then loosened the shoulder straps and the lap belt, and slid my body into that harness.
Smart.
That's
smart.
A great way of doing it.
You know, I always like the concept, if you want to call it. Disabled people can't do things. It's not that they can't do things, it's that they do them differently.
Yes, I love that. And yeah. That you recognize that, because disability is not inability. And I think people automatically assume if it's not done the way the normal or the way the norm does it, then it must not be possible. Instead of being open to the way that they figured it out, people do things differently. I mean, how many people buckle their seatbelt before they sit down?
Right, right. I wouldn't have thought of that. We're always fixing things at home, and you get that from not having the right tools. It's like, yes, I know if I had this tool, I could do this easy, but I don't have that tool, so I've got to figure out how to do it differently. So it's the same thing with you. You just have to do it more often.
It's like everybody else does. You adapt, improvise, and overcome. And that's what you did. Now, I have a question. Forgive me. I forget. Are you an LSA pilot or a private pilot?
LSA pilot.
LSA, okay.
Yes.
So that's better than we are, so.
Oh, no argument there. You know, we're an occasional pilot. The rest of the time, we're just buffoons.
No, we're certified ballast.
Yeah.
We're helping with weight and balance. Jessica, thank you for joining us. Real quickly, you're speaking here at AirVenture?
I am speaking, and also the Urcoop that was flown all the way from Arizona is right next to the P2 taxiway right at the opening of Boeing Plaza, so anyone can come see it.
All right, we will.
Speaking on Saturday. Saturday at 3:30 at the AOPA tent.
Great. Thank you very much, Jessica. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.